Hey everybody, Marty Biron, formerly of the New York Rangers. I know I'm wearing my Sabres shirt right now. We're at the draft, but you're listening to the Jimmy and Ricky Show here. Enjoy.
Yo, what's going on, all-in-one sports fans? Jimmy B, Ricky O, we got a guest on here as well, talking wrestling, all things wrestling tonight. Check it out, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. I hope you guys enjoyed the quick audio we did the other day. We are here all about wrestling tonight. I'm going to turn it over to the legend himself, Ricky O. It's all yours.
All right. First of all, in the we have a guest in the room. It's the legendary Mike Torrey, a.k.a. the Pickle, a.k.a. the Lesbian Destroyer. all right. So first
all of all, those in a bag of chips, baby.
All of those in a Blaze pizza tonight. All right. So here we go. I got a lot to say in a little bit of time because I want to get onto the AEW argument with you, Jimmy. And Mike is a neutral party, so he's agreed to come on and point counterpoint on that argument. So if you don't know this, I go back to the NWA, obviously as a child, as a fan, it was mine and Michael's greatest thing, the Road Warriors, Tommy Rich, Dusty Rhodes. You know, I remember 1981 getting cable for the first time and watching the NWA. And I can remember the first promo. It was Tommy Rich with a pig and a rabbit at the podium. And he was calling Ole Anderson pig face and Stan Hansen a rabbit for running from him. Immediately hooked. Flash forward, 1992, Tommy Fierro and I are hanging out in my house. Tommy introduces me to Dennis Corluzzo. I become a ring announcer for the end of NWA, eventually become part owner, and then eventually own my own NWA territory. That was ruined by a gentleman named Dave Cocksucker Martez and Bob Trovich, who liked to rob people of money, no other way to say it. And I'm in a mood. So listen, if you have a kid watching tonight, put them away for the next 10 minutes. You don't want your kid to hear this because I'm going to go absolutely batshit insane. And it's not my personality anymore. I've calmed down over in my old age, but I've had enough. So Dave Marquez and Bob Trovich rip off a bunch of money from a whole bunch of people. They keep the NWA alive. And then eventually somehow, I don't know, I owned it. I funded it for 5 years out of my own pocket, but yet Billy Corgan ends up as an owner and I end up with nothing. So anyway, I was a supporter of Billy. I was hoping Billy would have took the NWA in a different direction instead of turning it into an absolute bore, horrible show to watch. It's impossible to keep up with. It's like watching paint dry in a rectory. There's nothing going on. The show sucks. I'm sorry. No offense to the wrestlers. It's bad booking. It's bad management. It's not bad wrestling. It's just not promoted. It's in little tiny places. It's a guy who wanted to play wrestler because he thought he was Paul Heyman, and he's not Paul Heyman, and he'll never be Paul Heyman. So anyway, flash forward to me living in Nashville, Tennessee, and them coming here to Sky Studios to film TV. And on multiple occasions, they have asked myself and a couple other of my friends to remain nameless, but very influential people in the city to help fill the building for them for their free TV tapings. So the first couple of times, I've brought anywhere between 14 and 50 people to these tapings. And each time, I don't ask for anything except let these people in, let them have a good time, let them enjoy the show. Me included. I've gone a few times. Can't get the respect of even a handshake from Billy or anything like that. Homicide's there, treats me like gold. Jazz is there, treats me like gold. Velvet Sky sees me, I'm gold. But I'm not part of the fucking clique, and nobody will introduce themselves. Nobody will come up and say hello to me from management. I get told, Titus of all people is like, yo, this is Rick. You know, he's owned this company, had a fucking promotion for 25 years, whatever. And they just walk away from me like I'm a fucking schmuck. Fine. I don't really care. I don't need praise. I'm just trying to help you pack a building. So the last couple of times I've gone through a guy who used to work for me, Kyle Davis. Kyle used to work for JCW. Got a start behind the microphone with JCW. And flash forward, all of a sudden, Kyle's a big shot now too. Kyle thinks because he works for Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins that everybody thinks they're a big shot. So last taping, it was a clusterfuck. I had my business partner, Carlos, wanted to get a picture signed for his daughter. I asked, hey, if I fill this place all the time for you guys, so you have an audience, could you guys get Billy to sign something? Oh, absolutely. Carlos and I end up packing the place, They refused to even acknowledge we were there. They left us sitting outside in the lobby for about a half hour and treated us like two fucking assholes. And I had a bad taste in my mouth. I was pissed off. I was walking out and Titus asked me, why are you leaving? And I explained it to him. And he says to me, just come to me, Rick. Go through me. You've used me on shows. We know each other. Just come directly to me. Okay. Flash forward to tonight. For a month, I've been putting it out on my Facebook page. I'm sure you guys have seen it. Free NWA tickets, blah, 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 blah. Jimmy, are you alive? Am I boring you?
No, I'm here.
You watching AEW on your fucking phone?
No, I'm just looking through the notes.
So Titus says to me, listen, just put them through me. What I'll do is he has his Titus Kids Foundation or something like that, and I'll put them on the guest list. They'll have no problem. Put them through me. So I have a friend of mine. His name is William, and he has some children that are of special needs. I went to some other people I know that really just can't afford, unfortunately, in this economy, to go to a WWE show or an AEW show. And I had a good 40 to 48 people online tonight when my phone starts blowing up while I'm at work. And I mean 50, 60 phone calls. I finally answer the phone. I'm like, hey, what's going on? What's going on is they won't let us in. So what do you mean they won't let us in? I said, you tell them you're on Titus's guest list. They said, Titus don't have a guest list. Okay. Tell them you're with Ricky O., the guy who fills this fucking place every month for you guys when you come here. Go tell me what happens. They had security ask us to leave the parking lot. I said, you're kidding me. I text Titus, and Titus says to me, nothing I can do. I lost last night. I'm retired. So I have 40-something people standing in a parking lot in Nashville, Tennessee to go watch the fucking shittiest motherfucking wrestling promotion in the entire country. And they refuse to let them in. They refuse to let these people in, autistic children, elderly people, special needs adults, people that literally have the time in their lives going to wrestling matches, and they got locked out in the fucking parking lot. And no one would pick up a fucking phone. And then the one person with this just tells me, hey, I lost the fucking gimmick match. I'm retired. I can't. I don't have a guest list. You're dead to me. Billy Corrigan, you're a fucking vampire. I don't know what you are. Your fucking music is over 20 years ago. It's passed you by. You want to be a wrestling promoter? Go fuck yourself. Fuck you, Billy. And this is not a message to any of the boys on the roster because everybody needs a payday. And I'm fine with the wrestlers themselves. It's not a shot at them. Billy Corrigan, go fuck yourself. You're a fucking loser. Your company sucks. Your YouTube fucking channel sucks. Your booking sucks. And your customer service sucks. And for what you did to those kids tonight, I don't even know how I'm going to make it up to them. I don't know how I'm going to make it up to these kids. And I don't know about you or anybody else that's a parent, not a parent. Look at my friend Michael down there. He's special needs, 40-something years. We're best friends.
Come on. Like, that's awful.
You asshole.
That's awful.
There's nobody in the world I love more than that guy right there. That's my brother. I tease him. He teases me.
Yeah.
But he is my brother. I love my friend.
Yo, Billy Corgan, asshole. Straight up.
Knows,
you know I don't curse on the show, Ricky.
No, never. Straight never up not ass- once, Jimmy. Honestly, that's the first time I've ever heard you use that word.
Dude, guy's straight up asshole. Because guess what? You don't do that to those type of people.
No, you don't do it to anybody, Jim.
No, Nobody. But this guy, you packed this dude's building. You wonder why Nick Aldis left his company.
Well, that's another thing, how he treats his wrestlers. He's got Nick Aldis, who's the greatest NWA champion since it was the real NWA.
Yeah, right, exactly. He revitalized the product there.
He's a true professional. He's a true professional. I would love to pick that man's brain and have him on the show sometime. I think he's an absolute phenomenal worker. Ric Flair quality champion as far as carrying the belt, suits, prestige, the whole nine yards. But I want to go back on Billy for another minute. You know, listen, just because you're a famous person doesn't make you better than anybody, okay?
No.
I met Billy Corgan, and he gives the most limp-wristed handshake, almost like touching a vampire. It's the creepiest thing I've ever been around in my whole life. He's got his little fucking stooge, Kyle Davis, over there, who all of a sudden, you know, the guy was in the Players Club with me and JCW 15 years ago. Nobody knew who the fuck he was. I put him on a microphone and he became famous. God bless him. Another ungrateful motherfucker. Okay? Plain and simple, ungrateful motherfucker. If any of those children, your parents, and I know some of your moms and dads listen to this show because that's how you found out about the tickets, I will do something to make this up for you. Whether I have to reach out to Vince McMahon, if I have to get the next local show and get somebody together and get you tickets to the next show at the fairgrounds, if GCW comes to town, I've already spoken to Brett Lauderdale, who's a class fucking act. No matter how much people hate deathmatch wrestling, Brett is a good fucking human being. He's furious about what happened tonight. I'm sure if I went to him, I would be able to get some tickets for these kids. I have some autographs already. I've started rummaging through my shit at the warehouse to put together some packages to give these kids and these adults. I mean, like I said, some of these people were special needs adults who come out with their, you know, the families they live with and come out to just have a night out. And they were left sitting in a fucking parking lot. So the NWA died with Dennis Corluzzo. If you see that banner on the bottom, I can't mean that more than anything I've ever said before in my life. I want to get off the subject because it's just free publicity for Billy. Hey, Rob, you're fine, man. I know your phone was acting up. You can try to jump back on anytime you want. And yes, Steph, I don't know what to say. An absolute fucking disgrace. And I'm going to stop.
That's fucking horrible.
Over at the 13-minute mark of this show, you can bring your kids back in and listen. I'll stop going off. But listen, you know how bad it is when Jim curses. So yeah, I just want to hear your opinion on this, Jimmy, and then I'll get to you, Pickle.
Look, that's awful. I mean, first of all, like during the pandemic, I watched some of this NWA stuff. Look, I saw some guys there that I really liked. Nick Aldis, one of them. I never agreed with Titus having the title. Look, well, I'm not going to put his in-ring work on display here. He's an awesome dude. I've met him. But the way you treated Nick Aldis, some of the guys that you had that you didn't elevate, Ricky Starks was there, you know, Eli Drake, now LA Knight, like so many guys have left this company, got a start there and helped you revitalize their company. And then you treat them badly and guys leave. And then you do this to these people or and anyone. I mean, look, I stopped watching NWA and frankly, I think Impact does a better job than these guys do. And it's just horrible what Billy does to you, Ricky, because you're a class individual. You help out everybody. You have a great, one of the best wrestling minds I've ever like talked with. And I've talked with a lot of dudes. You and I, look, guys, go find it. We'll post on the Facebook. I'll put it in the group and on the page. The picture, the time I had at JCW,
Great Adventure
that is Six Flags Great Adventure was one of the best nights I ever had at a wrestling event. That's because Ricky, what he does, man.
Jimmy, so I'll tell you right now, I appreciate what you're saying, and it goes back to Dennis Corluzzo mentored me. Tommy Iron Man Cairo was a mentor to me. My friends were Crowbar Devin Storm, Tommy Fierro, a fellow promoter. Look, I'm saying something nice about a fellow promoter. When do you ever hear that? Tommy Fierro, Judas Young, Danny Giamundo, Pickle. We used to get together in our houses, watch pay-per-views. Crowbar used to beat the shit out of Pickle with garbage cans in the middle of my living room. We were just a group of young
just
guys.
Fun.
Omaza, the master. We would all just get together, and we all became successful because we had such a passion for this. Tommy runs amazing kids shows. I did all the Little League fundraisers, all the police fundraisers in the state of New Jersey. I probably ran 1,000 JCW shows combined with GCW shows. And until GCW had to go to that hardcore, I was proud. I am not proud of GCW. I love where those guys took it. It was not my style. I wanted to do family. I wanted to bring the kids in the ring. How many times did I get knocked out by a little kid, Pickle, or a
coach
part of the show?
Tons.
It's about all building. It's about building. And you know what he did tonight? He just took a group of 50 people, and they'll never want to go to another one of his shows again.
Ever.
Well, the problem is that he does, like you said, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the business. He's an outsider who bought in. He wasn't trained by the right people. He wasn't taught by minds like Dennis Corluzzo understood the business.
Rest in peace, Jim Kettner, another mentor of mine. Jim Kettner, one of the greatest ever. I leave out guys like Don Montoya and Tom Carter, who were part of our ring. Original ring of friends. It was the best time to be involved in wrestling, and it's not now. And this leads me to another Money Mark, who runs a company called AEW. And I'm going to let Jimmy, and I want Jimmy, out of full respect, I love you. You know that, bro. You're my boy.
Yeah, I
know.
Somebody,
I would knock somebody the fuck out if they ever badmouthed you. So I would like you to go first and tell me your opinion of the show, and then I will counterpoint you.
Okay, so I'm a big wrestling fan, and I like alternative wrestling. And I'm going to put this caveat out here because this is where I've used my Twitter account and my like rise up in the ranks. All pro wrestling is good. Like what you want to like. Don't like what you want to like. But there's something for everybody out there. Okay, with that being said, I enjoy the AEW All In show. But again, I've been there since the beginning. I've looked to alternatives. When TNA was running from 2004 to 2010, you know, I'm a big CM Punk guy, and I know we'll get into this tonight. I thought what they did for the business yesterday was awesome. 81,000 paid people in Wembley Stadium. Just incredible job by Tony Khan. It was. Look, to be honest, look, I know everybody wants to point to records and this and that. Look, for paid attendance, it's a professional wrestling record. It's
all
awesome.
First of all, here's my counterpoint. Okay. Here's my first counterpoint. I will guarantee you, and I love the fact he drew that crowd. Don't get me wrong. I love the business to succeed. I don't want any of the boys not to make money. I guarantee you that crowd was heavily papered. I guarantee it. He came to Nashville, Tennessee, okay, 2 weeks ago. They only – and Jimmy, you were in the arena. They carted off the entire top section of the building, was blacked out. Half the side of the other building was blacked out where the entranceway was, and the hard camera was blocked out. They drew less people than Tommy Fierro just drew in the convention center in Atlantic City.
Well, actually, the 81,000 is actually an accurate number from everybody that's been in the building. That is the actual number. Oh,
I'm not saying they didn't have 81,000 people there. I'm saying I don't think 81,000 people paid to be there.
Oh, no. That's the paid attendance record. The actual actual number of people is around 85, with you includes ushers and all this other stuff. There were definitely some empty seats there. But
there was a lot of empty seats.
But again, I'm going off of statistics that I have.
I'm going to find the picture. Hold on. You keep going.
But again, it was good for the business. I thought the match quality was good. I thought the pacing of the show was one of their best ever. Like, I really did. And I've been critical of their booking, and I've been very critical of how should I say where matches are placed. I thought he did an excellent job. Start to finish.
I don't know if you can see this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this on camera, but could you guys see that photo right there?
That was the upper bowl of
Wembley Stadium?
When was that picture taken, though?
That was taken during the Young Bucks match.
I mean,
half of the upstairs is empty. I'm just saying. Vince McMahon lies more than anybody. Vince McMahon will draw 62,000 people. He puts it out as 142,000 and a half because he'll say one person was a fucking midget.
They all lie. They all lie. But again, paid attendance. All right, we're going to go with that.
You go first. Give me your opinion. You said pacing, right?
Pacing.
I'm going to tell you this. I thought it was a little too fast.
You thought it was too fast. Interesting. I thought it was one of their better paced shows.
Well, most of their shows last like 6-7 hours, so it's fucking ridiculous to begin with.
Here's my problem right off
the bat. Mike, I 100% ridiculous. Agree. I 100% agree with that. The pay-per-views are way, way, way too long. Way too long.
Because his roster is too big. Yep. He's got to put everybody in a show. How do you have that show in that fucking stadium and your world champion, who's your biggest draw, your best talent, the future of the fucking business, MJF? The greatest fucking heel who's about to be the biggest baby face in the last 30 years, and he's in a tag.
It's part of the story.
What story, Jimmy? Ric Flair ever be part of a story, or was he the main event in every single Starcade, every single Chi-Town Heat is Ric Flair?
No,
was Hulk Hogan in tags? Yes. It's called Survivor Series.
And SummerSlam.
But I would say 92 out of 100 appearances by Flair and Hogan were as the biggest
spotlight. Oh, yeah, as the biggest star. But I like how they did it. Again, I questioned it at first because I didn't see how they were going to do it, and I kind of like how they've done it. Again, I was critical of the fact that they were on the pre-show, and why couldn't this be on Rampage or on Dynamite?
He put every single person on his roster on the show, Jimmy. Oh, you read, you cut the roster down.
If you read X or Twitter or whatever the hell it's called, everybody's critical. Oh, not enough this, not enough that. I'm like, wait a minute. Where were you gonna put it? You can't have it.
There's so much dead weight. Okay. There's so much dead weight on that, roster.
Here's what I say. The Bucks match stays on the show.
Oh, 100%.
The MJF match stays on the show.
That had to stay on the show.
Punk stays on the show.
Yes.
The main event stays on the show of Jericho and whatever. Will Ospreay stays on.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. The battle fucking, I know the stadium battle has become their thing. It's ridiculous. It's dumb. And yesterday was, I cannot tell you how disappointed. And I love Santana and Ortiz are my boys. I love Eddie Kingston. Boys. I love Claudio. I love Orange Cassidy. And it was a fucking shit show. Horrible. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was bad. I thought the finish was bad. I think Moxley just needs to just – they're trying to make Moxley into the next bloodiest, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre fucking guy in the world. Tone it down, man. Tone it down. Was there really a need for 25 fork shots to Orange Cassidy on that show?
Absolutely not.
There's no need for blood. I'm asking a serious
question, Jimmy. Do you think that was needed? I don't think those 10 guys, that 40 minutes that they used there, it could have went to showcasing another talent.
I personally think – I thought maybe they could – because I know what they're doing. Because, again, this is my biggest criticism of what they've done, and I know Tony Khan's going to do it again next year. But, again, I don't understand why you're running another show next week in Chicago and you have – and you announced All In and you knew it was all – like, I personally think you could have put the AEW International title on the line and go Jon Moxley, Orange Cassidy at that spot.
Yeah.
But I want to get – all that. Why are they running a show for Antonio Inoki? Nobody fucking knows who Antonio Inoki nowadays.
Let me finish. Nobody. Let me get you this. Tony Khan is a fucking mark.
Every big wrestling mark.
I can understand that.
Listen, but every week, Mike, every fucking week, it's a tribute to somebody else. He's got the announcers putting over somebody who did a move in 1973. This, if you go back and watch, his matches are all famous matches of the past. And he's just recycling through. Now, Jim Cornette is the mastermind of all of professional wrestling. I don't get along with Jim right now, but I think he's the greatest in the world.
Yo, I'm
and
a Jim Cornette guy.
I'm huge.
Okay, so everybody will agree. You've run angles back. Like tonight, the WWE is in Memphis, right? Did you see what they did with the women? They had a concession stand brawl because that city is famous for that, right?
Yes.
Right. But Vince didn't do a concession stand brawl. He didn't do a tar and feather. He didn't do a yellow stripe down the back. He didn't do a lights out. 15 of the same fucking matches in one show to get the mark over like this in the back. You know who's got the greatest mind in fucking wrestling right now in that company? CM Punk.
You know who's the star
of that company? CM Punk. Do you know who's the next star in that company? Samoa Joe. You know who should be the fucking world champion in that company? MJF. And you know who should be all over the place? Claudio. Everybody else can go fuck themselves. You got a little midget with his hands in his pocket, right? Undefeated for 653 fucking years. He's a friend of mine. This is my biggest thing with Tony Khan. The fucking Young Bucks think they're the Road Warriors and Nikita Koloff combined. They're 5 foot fucking four. If I see his hairline start one more inch back, I swear to God, I'm going to jump the fucking barrier and I'm going to cut his fucking head off with a hedge clipper. You got the FTR is legit badasses in real life and in the ring. Badasses, tough guys, phenomenal throwback to the 80s classic tag team wrestling. And they're
love
selling
those guys.
They are selling like they're getting physically beat up by two midgets with receding hairlines.
But you know who did that really well?
The Rock and Roll Express.
Besides that, you know who their idol is?
The Midnight
Express. Bret Hart. Well, Bret Hart used to sell for a lot of guys too.
Okay, but Bret Hart, here's the difference. Bret was wrestling Diesel and Kane and the Road Warriors, and his feuds were with guys much bigger than him, not smaller.
Well,
they are treating.
Well, you mentioned the one match. You mentioned that
the
one
Young
match.
Bucks
Remember?
Are the modern Mulkey brothers. That's what they
Remember?
Are. If they wrestled in any other era, they would have been jobbed to the Road Warriors, to the Steiners, to the Dudleys. Yeah. They just luckily came up in the right era where everybody's small. Everybody doesn't not built.
let Jimmy finish, and then I'll give you my opinion.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Go ahead.
No,
yes, buddy.
I love it. I love it. Remember, I think we cited it on the show. How about that Bret Hart Hakushi match? Remember, I love FTR, man. I'm so glad they won yesterday. I'm really glad.
I'm shocked. And
I was shocked too, because just the way the company books.
And you know they hate each other in real life, those two teams.
Oh yeah, they do. They do. They really do hate each other. But that was one of those matches that could have gone 50-50, not as predictable as I thought it. Like you said there was a lot of stuff that was predictable. I thought that was one of the matches that was not predictable.
Here's something that's going on. And I said this on Twitter yesterday, or X, or whatever it's called. They're either the Young Bucks want to feud with each other, and I think they set the seed for it yesterday. And if you caught it, not a lot of people
I did. I caught it.
The pin where he physically pulled Dax's arm up for the three count.
I did.
It was
see
either
that.
Terrible camera work, or they're going to go back and say, you know, what happened here? Why did you pull his arm back? And that's the seed to a feud between the two brothers, which would be fantastic. That would rejuvenate, to me, the fucking brothers. My deal with those guys are I met them 15 years ago, 2011. So, no, I was like 14, going on 13, 14 years ago. They were backyarders who were trained on a trampoline, who's made it famous. The Young Bucks, God bless them. They took themselves from backyard carnies to being the Bullet Club in Japan, biggest thing in the world. God bless you. But they are reversing the psychiatry, the psychological look at matches. The psychology is the big guys bump the little guys. The Road Warriors bumped the Midnights. The Road Warriors bumped the Rock and Rolls, right? The Rock and Rolls sold everything, and then they got this total justification pop when they came back and made a comeback. The Bucks are playing the role of the Road Warriors, and they're bumping guys three times their size who are legit shooters and badasses.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad psychology. It's terrible. Samoa Joe should never sell for Orange Cassidy.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But they're doing the same thing with the Bucks.
Well, and you mentioned Joe and Punk, right? Punk sold a lot for Joe, how it should be.
Yes. Yes. But they're also two of the greatest fucking wrestlers in the last
100%. 100%.
I will tell you this. I don't care what anybody says about, and I'm going to go on my rant in a minute. I don't care what anybody says about CM Punk. Oh, he's this, he's that, he's a locker room cancer. He's a fucking draw. And you know why he's a draw? Because he gets the business. You know why he's a draw? Because he understands what to do. You know why he's a draw? Because he's a main event talent.
Absolutely. Okay?
Say what you want. Oh, he went to the UFC and he got beat. He had the fucking balls to go. He ain't in the back room slapping his fucking leg every 3 seconds to get over.
It's true.
Listen, the Bucks have a place on the show. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be an AEW without the Bucks. They're the one who found the fucking mark down there in Saudi Arabia or whatever the fuck he was. The Bucks have a place on the show, but I'm saying their psychiatry, it's just wrong. I mean, I don't know. I would love to have somebody else come on here and say, but as a booker and a guy who wrote shows and laid out programs and literally turned down jobs from big companies because I didn't want to go on a road away from my family to write, I don't agree with the way they're selling them. I think they have to go to be the chicken shit baby fucking heels and stop being the Road Warriors. As a matter of fact, doesn't Jim Cornette call him the Road Warrior Buck and receding hairline Buck or something like that?
Yeah, he does. He does. He does.
It's just a joke. Okay, next thing I was going to say was they're not spotlighting MJF. Tag matches are not for your world championship. Don't have the belt on him if you don't have a program for him.
I agree with that. I agree with that, 100%. I 100% agree with it.
Another thing, Darby Allin and Sting don't need to be on that show. If it takes minutes away from MJF, if it takes minutes away from the Punk match, if it took a minute away from the Jericho match, they don't belong on the show. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's cool to see Sting there. I will say nostalgia, but again, that could have been a Dynamite match. I agree.
That match was terrible. And now, Jimmy, you remember you got mad at me yesterday? And I said, it's the same thing I can see on every Wednesday night. What was different? I saw Moxley put spikes in somebody's head, right?
Well, he can't do that on that Wednesday night anymore. But he's not supposed to be doing it.
But he's done it multiple times, right?
Oh, yeah, he's done.
Then you have your MJF match and his promo on every show. You have the great match on Saturday night. You always have Punk in a great match. Win or lose, he's putting people over. He knows the business. there was nothing that stood out. Where was the surprise pop? You didn't think Paige, what's her name? Serena now?
Soraya.
Whatever.
No.
You don't think she's going to win the belt in her home city? You don't think that's the most predictable fucking match on the whole show?
For me,
it's going to be the best polished belt in the whole company.
Look, to me, Sheeta should have retained. But again, I'm not booking the show, and he wants to have everybody go home feel good. I just think Sheeta should have won there.
Listen, I get it, but you know what makes money? Have her get fucked over. Have her mother jump the guardrail and punch the other girl in the fucking mouth who fucks her over, and then the crowd goes home angry, and they have a built-in return match where the mother and her team up against whoever fucked her and a partner. That's booking, not sending the crown home because the fucking pig wins the fucking belt in her home city in front of her fat father and her fucking couldn't make it in the business brother. Her mother's the most talented out of all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, Tony Storm should have went over. She's from England as well.
Yeah.
No,
she's the future.
She's from Australia.
I don't know.
It's fucking same. It's not the United States. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
I don't
understand. Well, she's the future along with Jamie Hayter. That's how you build your thing around. And, of course, you got to have Britt Baker as well because she sells
another
shit.
One who I can't stand. I can't stand Britt Baker. Another one.
I can't stand her either, but she does sell for them. She sells tickets.
All right, next match, Jimmy. What do you got? Who do you want to yell
at? Will Ospreay. I mean, I want to say Will Ospreay is the best wrestler in the world right now. I mean, this guy. Yeah,
I'm not going to argue
with
you.
This guy had continues to have best matches. I mean, Omega twice, Okada, Jericho. I mean, look, this guy's a star. I mean, I have nothing bad things to say about Will Ospreay. And, you know, I kind of knew that he was probably going to win there. But, again, I like the dynamic that they have with Jericho. And
Omega, Sammy. I thought, was wasted on that show yesterday.
Golden Elite? Tough. Yeah, it should have been. You know what they should have done there? Should have been Omega against Jay White singles.
It would have been better than what it was. Well, I mean, I know it sets up a feud. I know somebody takes a pin in the situation where he comes out and he's still strong. I get that. I'm just saying it's the same thing every week. I'm just saying it. I could have – if that match was in front of a studio audience or an arena and not 86,000 people, I would have looked at the show the exact same way. Nothing made me go, oh, my God. Pickle, when he was a kid, he was a mother effer, right? Every week before there was dirt sheets or the internet, he'd come over my house and go – we got to order this pay-per-view. My friend's cousin's brother works at the airport, and the Road Warriors are coming in. And we make our parents order it because he would lie and tell us the Road Warriors are coming to WWF, and we'd order the pay-per-view. Or we were waiting for somebody to show up that we didn't know was coming, like when Tenaru and all of those guys showed up for a Royal Rumble that one year. And then the one year the Headhunters came in. Yeah. Those are pops that people don't know, right? Every year now Vince picks a certain legend and they make a return. Where was that pop yesterday? Listen, I love Eddie Kingston. He's a great man. God bless him. I'm glad he's alive. He had a lot of mental health issues. He's really – he's nothing special. They built him up like he is legitimately – here's the problem. Tony Khan or somebody who's booking is obsessed with Dick Slater and Terry Funk. They don't have the next one, okay? Just because Moxley's a legit tough guy. The guy's winning grappling tournaments. He's a shooter. He's dangerous, right? The garbage that he's doing is just a step too much, man. It's too much. He's literally, you remember the Bad News Bears when they went and played in Houston at the Astrodome and the Italian kid said, I'm stuck between my Louis Tiant and my Brett Fidry. Like he was trying to do three pitching motions at one time. He's stuck between trying to be Abdullah the Butcher, Homicide, Terry Funk, and I think a little bit of Dick Murdoch. I'm not sure. But he's got all of those guys stuck in his head, and he's trying to do everything in every match as a tribute to them. And by the way, great shout-out to Homicide during the match by Ortiz, who with the fork said, hey, that's for you, D. I don't know if anybody caught that.
I didn't catch that. I'll have to watch that back.
Big shout-out to Homicide, one of the greatest in the world, who – I don't know why he's not in a major company. But, again, now here's a little something that came out today. Jay Lethal saying, I really wish they could have gave me 20 seconds to come out and do Randy the machismo gimmick in front of that crowd. That would have been special.
I would have loved to have seen that. That right. would have been cool.
That's
that
a feel-good really... moment, right?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. So I think he was on the first All-In, too.
Listen, I think you remember when All-In first came out and Joey Janela was the star?
Yeah.
It doesn't take much, man.
Yep.
Look, I mean, to me, like, again, this was like a good wrestling show for me. Again, I was entertained. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. I thought it was really good. You know, everybody can critique and criticize and nitpick at things. Again, I enjoyed it. Again, I think the one thing I'm hearing from a lot of people is the surprise. Where was the surprise? All this stuff. I think just because you have some injuries with and some real life stuff that went down, you couldn't have Phoenix there. I would have loved to seen Phoenix, what he could have done in that stadium stampede.
I kind of liked when the what's his name went back and changed into his alter ego.
Oh, Penta. Out. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was cool.
Great spot until the ladder breaks. How do you have a multi-billion dollar company and you're using a wooden ladder?
Using a regular ladder.
That doesn't happen on a Vince McMahon show.
No, it doesn't. No.
And then that spot, Santana's lucky to be alive because he landed on the back of his head on the second table. I don't know how he got up. I really thought for sure he might have died.
Yeah, I really did too.
Did you see it? No, Jimmy, here's the point I want to make for you, right? And you think I break your chops all the time.
I mean, I know you do.
You're the voice of reason, and I'm not. And this really – this just pissed me off, this show. But I'm happy people like you who are just a casual fan enjoy it because that's good for the business.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
I also
yeah.
look at the long term where I say this show, just like that motherfucker Billy Corrigan tonight. Did I tell you about Billy Corrigan that I hate his guts?
Yeah, you already did. We already did.
No longer, it's no longer fuck Bill Goldberg. Bill's
oh, we're done with fuck Bill Goldberg.
Goldberg's okay now. It's 100% fuck Bill.
Well, Goldberg. I don't know. I don't know if Goldberg's okay.
I don't know either. Ask Brett.
I don't know about that.
But I'm just saying, I love the fact that casual fan like yourself, who's a hockey expert, fucking top world-class athlete between your cycling, your hockey, everything, and you can sit down and enjoy 3 hours of your life watching that. That's great. That's the business. That's the next generation of fans. You'll tell your, you know, whatever. That's great. I look at everything as, what would I do here? I might not be the greatest mind in wrestling. I know I'm not, you know, but I made 25-year living and wasn't no millionaire. I paid for it out of my own pocket. 25 years. Okay, I did something right. And I don't pat myself on the back often, but I had a million and one gimmicks stolen by different people. I had a million and one different things taken. I know I put 35 to 40 fucking people in OVW who, you know, you go on my thing, look at Livewire, his send-off, Mikey Mondo, was from JCW. Yep. CM Punk never fucking wrestled outside of Chicago before he came to JCW. Daniel Bryan never left Seattle before he came to JCW. All on one show.
Yo, Lethal was on a show.
Oh, I've had them all. It was me and Fat Frank. It was me and Fat Frank. God rest his soul.
God rest Fat Frank.
Fat Frank and I brought more people into the indie spotlight on the East Coast than any other fucking people in the world.
Yep.
Feinstein, you fucking pedophile prick. You fucking killed Ring of Honor. I don't know how you – the company to this day has never changed the name when the guy gets caught on a TV show, like a Catch a Predator show, and he has to sell the company. That's – look it up, guys. It's fact, right? I don't know how that brand has still survived to this day. God bless them that they have. Claudio should be. I don't know how that guy is not a world champion somewhere. That is the strongest man in the entire world.
Yeah.
Talented.
Well, he is the ROH world champion, but.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, there's a perfect feud for MJF. You take Claudio's strength, you take Claudio's experience, and you put him against MJF's mouth. And you have them go with Claudio's big man spots, and MJF's the chicken shit world champion, and he gets a victory somehow or another each time. Build MJF up. Make MJF your punk, your next Hogan in a tag match. He's not accomplishing that.
So I got a question for you.
When's the last time he defended the belt?
Outside of yesterday.
You know what I'm saying? But when's he consistently...
It was a dynamite. Well, that was his whole gimmick before they turned him babyface. That was his whole thing, right? He was the Roman Reigns. He doesn't defend the title that often, right? That was his thing because he's like, I don't wrestle. You got to pay me. You want to see me? You pay to see me. Like, that was his whole thing.
Before they have enough spots on the show for me, and I'm your world champion.
Well, he went off on Tony Khan before he left the company last year.
What's up, Rico?
Yo, what up, Rico?
That's I've crossed too many political barriers tonight saying midget and fuck everybody and everything else, but that's retard Rico on the line right there. He is the world's greatest, I mean, worst DJ in the history of pro wrestling. but that kid's my boy right there. He's been with me from day one. Rico was a DJ, ring crew. Rico, actually, thank you for your shout out last week about your Terry Funk experience, which we're going to get to in a minute. The greatest of my Mount Rushmore has Terry Funk on it. Okay.
Wait, so we missed a little bit here because last week, you know, there was some heat, some things. We want to get some things. I want the Jack Perry rant because you told me you were going to go off on that.
Oh, game. Okay. Okay. So here's my Jack Perry rant, right? Again, this is goes on the booker, whoever is booking for Tony Khan, whether it's Tony himself or the guys in the back who, listen, everyone is surrounded themselves around Tony Khan as a yes man. He's got all the biggest ass-sucking mother effers in the whole world in Colt Cabana, Sonjay Dutt, it's always Jeff Jarrett. All the same leeches are holding on and getting those paychecks.
Okay? I love it. I love it.
And I'm not lying.
No,
I know you're not. That's why
you look
it's
at
funny.
Carter, and there's Jay Lethal, and then there's Sonjay Dutt, and then there's Colt Cabana. They're all there.
There's Jeff Jarrett.
They're always the money marked suckers, right? So Jack Perry's got a famous father. If Jack Perry's last name wasn't Perry and if Luke wasn't his father, he wouldn't even be on the fucking indies. He's 4'11". He's a little punk, obviously. He thinks he's a tough guy. He got his ass choked out last night. Here's what I want to say. Guys, everybody wants to make CM Punk out to be a bad dude, right? CM Punk has drawn more money in 6 months than that entire company, everybody else combined, except for MJF, has made in the 3 years that company's been open, first and foremost. Second of all, you idiot. You want to take the risk of using a real fucking glass and having somebody hemorrhage to death on national TV because you're a mark. You're a mark, okay? You saw what happened to David Arquette. He came within a millimeter of his life on dying because he was a mark, and he got in the ring with the baddest, craziest deathmatch wrestler in the world, and Nick Gage, and he got his jugular vein cut. Glass is dangerous. I don't know if you've ever been cut. You break a picture frame. You cut your finger. It hurts. Could you imagine going through a full plate window with your back or your neck? All you need is one millionth of a thing to go wrong, and it slices your neck. It slices your back. You're on national. People don't understand this either. People, you said it yourself, Jimmy. He can't do that no more on Wednesday nights, right?
Right.
The censorship. Do you remember when Dusty Rhodes was fired? Do you know why Dusty Rhodes was fired and showed up in the WWE with polka dots on, Jim?
Didn't he use too much color?
He was in a match. I'm sorry. He was in a promo, and he got attacked by the Road Warriors. And he told Animal, take your spike off and jam it in my eye.
Jesus
the Warriors Christ. Were like, dude, we can't get color. They banned color. Ted Turner owned it. 6 o'clock on Saturday night, no blood.
No Dusty blood.
Bled all over the place. When you go back and watch it, he's yelling, my eye. Mm-hmm. They blinded him. They said that he poked his eyeball with the spike. There was blood everywhere. Ted Turner made one phone call, his biggest star, fired and off of TV. If Tony Khan wants to let these guys play wrestler and have somebody die on national TV, which has come close with the injuries they've had, we've had severely broken legs, we've had neck injuries, we've had match stopped because they thought people were paralyzed. If he wants some idiot little punk kid to use a full plate glass window and die on TV, there goes AEW. So listen, Jack, there is certain people that know a little bit more than wrestling. For you to go out yesterday and you wanted to steal the spotlight. You wanted to go out and yell, I used real glass. Well, you got your fucking ass kicked in the locker room.
Yep.
You got beat up. The description's coming out where he got punched in the mouth and choked out until he turned purple. And then we got to hear, oh, Punk's a bad guy. Punk's not a bad guy, dude. I've been around CM Punk.
CM Punk is not a bad dude.
CM Punk is he protects his image. Ask Dave Greco. There was a Halloween show once. And everybody came. It was in front of 25 people in an AmVets in Garfield, New Jersey for BWO, Richie Rotten's promotion. They ran just to have fun. They weren't even a real company. Rico was wrestling there. They just wanted to have fun. They ran a Halloween show. And Greco showed up as DG Greco, not CM Punk, DG Greco. And he taped his hand and he put an X on his hand. Punk got wind of it. And the next time he saw Greco, he almost killed him. Because he thought he was mocking him and mocking his gimmick and that he built that brand and didn't want anybody to fuck with him. And you know what? He's successful. He was a skinny. I'll post pictures on my Facebook page tomorrow. He was a 6'1", 6', whatever he is, skinny as a rail kid who looked like he was an anorexic. I don't even know what he looked like. And then 10 years later, he's the biggest star in the entire world. And you got Jack Perry mocking him on the biggest pay-per-view in the world and then going in the back and thinking, and then you know what? CM Punk is a troublemaker. All these little, I don't know, I say millennials, but I don't know what they are. I'm too old to even know what this generation is called. But all these little punks out there that are wearing their little AEW shirt and they're saying, CM Punk's a mean guy. He picks on everybody. Oh, there's always trouble. He's protecting the business, you morons. He's protecting a billionaire's money because all we need is for Jack Perry to hemorrhage to death on TV. Or another point that nobody ever talks about, bleed into the crowd, get it on a person, and have a person sue that they got hepatitis, first of all. Bleed on a kid by accident on ringside, which I cannot believe that they let them go through the crowd and do what they did yesterday with all the amount of blood that spilled in that match. Because I got news for you. There's definitely going to be a lawsuit coming with this hardcore wrestling where somebody says they got AIDS or hepatitis or sick from getting bled on at a show. And third of all, I just don't understand the risk of using real glass when that thing shatters and you're 5 feet from the front row. What happens when somebody gets a shard in their eye? Yeah. What happens when the kid gets a piece across the side of his face? The littlest nick, the littlest nick. I remember Vince McMahon, when I worked for Vince, I was driving Roddy Piper around and getting Piper to and from shows. And he was wrestling Zach McGowan at Madison Square Garden. Zach had one leg. Zach Gowan was his name. I don't know if you remember him. Pickle.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
They got into an argument, such and such. That was the gimmick. They were getting it before the show, whatever. And Gowan had a crutch because Piper had hurt his good leg. He takes the crutch and he smashes it on the side of the ring. Well, instead of bending, the head of the crutch flew off and hit a lady right in the side of the head at Madison Square Garden, knocked her down. I literally watched them take her to the back. I was backstage. Like I said, I was working for Vince. I was private driving Piper and getting them to and from shows, trying to keep them straight. Hit her in the head. They took her in a room. They had doctors. They had lawyers. They had everybody. And before she walked out with a check and a smile. Because they had to pay, because the lawsuit would have went against Madison Square Garden. The lawsuit would have went against security. The lawsuit would have went against Vince. It would have gone against Piper personally. And she would have walked, I don't know what she settled for, but she would have walked out with millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it happens. Sue Maida, it was one of my mother's and father's closest friends. Pickle, you know Fat Sue from the Battlebrook Diner.
Yep.
This woman was a female bouncer. Back in the 80s when nobody knew what that was. This was a big woman who would beat the shit out of you. Fist fights at the Santa Brook Diner. She would walk in and grab one guy, punch him in the face, and end the fight, and then go, would you like syrup on your pancakes? This lady was nuts. She was at the Brendan Byrne Arena, sitting ringside, when somebody threw a Jack Daniels bottle off the upper deck, and she hit her right between the eyes and split her for 250 stitches.
Jesus.
Never had to work another day in her life. Company was sued. Vince was sued. Security was sued. Horrible injury. I'm sure she never would like to go through that. You know what I mean? But people get sued when stupid things happen. Companies go out of business. My biggest fear was CM Punk broke his skull on one of my shows. Now, I had insurance. It would have paid for it, but it would have put me out of business because I would have never been able to get licensed again in the state of New Jersey. I would have never been able to get wrestling insurance ever again. He literally looked me in the face and said, it's a hazard of the show. It's fine. I have insurance. Don't worry about it. He didn't try to rob me, hold me up. He didn't try to do anything. Okay. CM Punk also saw me 2 years ago outside of an arena when he wasn't talking or stopping for anybody, looked at me and said, wow, you lost a lot of weight, you fat fuck, and gave me a hug and got in his limo and drove off. Doesn't sound like a lot, right?
But it means a lot. It means something.
It means something to me because it's a guy who didn't forget that where he came from, that we were friends for 20-something years, lived in my basement when I was married in New Jersey. Nicest guy.
He also didn't want to go to the hospital either. Remember that? So you're fine.
Punk is an atheist, right? So we walk in, and I'm walking down the hallway with Cole Cabana. And were you there, Mike?
It was at the Rexplex.
No, I'm saying
we broke his skull.
We went to the hospital?
No, I didn't go to the hospital. No, I stayed behind.
So it was me and Cole Cabana were walking up the stairs, and we hear him in a full argument. He's got a nun and the priest who came to pray over him, and he's arguing that there's no such thing as Christ, and it's a work. He's telling the nun it's all a work.
I love it.
So I love CM Punk. I'm sorry. He's a huge hockey guy, Jim. Just, you know, big Chicago Blackhawks.
I know he's a big Chicago guy. He's a huge Chicago guy.
Big Chicago Wolves fan, actually, AEW fan. I just think guys like Jack Perry, who are, again, from the Young Bucks school, all of 3'9", 120 pounds, doesn't have a muscle on his body. If you looked at him yesterday, he literally looked like a pre-adolescent 11-year-old girl who hasn't popped her boobs yet.
And he thinks he's a tough guy. And
Punk beat him up.
Yeah, but Punk beat him up, but then he got his ass kicked by Hook prior to that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Hook's a tough kid. I told you a couple weeks ago, if they can't make a star out of Hook, then they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
The kid's one of the handsomest young men I ever seen in my life. He's got a natural pedigree, and he could work. Yeah. You know, I don't know what they're doing with him, but they need to build that kid into a star.
But I agree with you. CM Punk, for me, this one's not on him.
Neither was the last one.
Brawl Out was – look, there's a lot of blame to go around for Brawl Out. So I think everybody takes a piece of blame for Brawl Out. But this one, dude, Jack Perry went in for business for himself, and he paid a price. And CM Punk made him pay a price. And again, this is what we're talking about when we should be talking about the event.
Yeah, of course.
Well, it all goes back that the young guys refuse to listen to the veterans. No. He got the idiot like Hangman Page. I don't need to listen to him. What do you need to? Are you stupid?
Oh, man.
Listen, here we go. Another one. Let's talk about Hangman Page. Here is a cowboy from West Virginia who wears rhinestone belt buckle and wants to come off as a tough guy. Okay. He rides to the ring on a horse, right? That's cool. You're going to try to tell me that Hangman Page wants to be in the same tough category as Dick Slater, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, the Texas Outlaws, Bradshaw, who represent cowboys, right? Guys that you wouldn't want to fight for all the money in the world.
Nope.
And then you have Hangman Page, who looks like there's an old wrestler from New Jersey. His name was Johnny Thunder. I want to see Rico laugh his ass off on this one. Johnny Thunder was an imitation Shawn Michaels in the late 90s, early 2000s wrestler in New Jersey. Problem was, Johnny was about 50 pounds overweight, wore the same outfit as Shawn Michaels, but he had a belly that hung over the front of him like this. And then he would come to the ring and do the whole Shawn thing, and he mimicked him to the T. But he was 50 pounds overweight. He looked nothing like Shawn Michaels. He couldn't work like Shawn Michaels, and he was just a complete ripoff of Shawn Michaels. AEW has a whole roster of guys that are trying to play other people's characters. Mm-hmm. They are not themselves. He's trying to be a Shawn Michaels, Stan Hansen mix. It doesn't work. Moxley is trying to be Abdullah the Butcher meets Cactus Jack meets Terry Funk. It doesn't work.
Moxley was good before he started doing all this crap.
Moxley was really good. He was tough. He was choking people out. He was using shoot holds. Now it's, I bring a bag to the ring. What's next? How do you outdo the porcupine spot? How do you outdo
you
the
can't.
Fork?
What's next?
You bring a chainsaw in and you just cut the guy's pinky off or something? Or are we going to have like a guy who has a gimmick pinky and that they're just going to cut off? How do you keep going to the next level? There has to be an end. Jim Cornette said this for 30 years.
I hope last night was the end for Moxley, because that you can't top what he did there. And I agree. I mean, look. MJF, look, this guy in his press conference yesterday put the roster over, put the locker room over, locker room leader. Punk's trying to be that locker room leader. Guys got to listen, man. Like, you just got to listen to what these veterans are telling you.
What did Punk say to him? Go wrestle?
Wednesday
nights, he told him.
Yeah, go wrestle on Wednesday nights. And then Perry tells him you're going to do something about it, and then Punk chokes him out. Like,
you know what I want to see? And again, I don't know how this hasn't happened. I want to see somebody say something like that to Samoa Joe.
Yeah, because Samoa Joe will kick your ass.
I've watched Samoa Joe literally come up to me, and I won't say the person's name, but said to me, yo, your boy's out of shape, and he's blown up, and he's making me look bad. And this was during a match. He rolled out of the ring, and literally, and it wasn't my show. I was just in the front row watching, and he said, I'm beating his ass. And he rolled a very big star on the indies in the ring and beat the shit out of him. For just being out of shape and not taking their match serious. CM Punk, take me serious. Samoa Joe, take me serious. Claudio Castagnoli, take me serious, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's the difference. they take it serious. Moxley, even though he's doing all this bullshit, he wouldn't let guys disrespect the business either. I mean, he's a student of the business. Daniel Bryan, come on. One of the most purest of all time, right?
One of the best of all time.
One of the best. Now, let me ask you, does Claudio or Samoa Joe ever, ever, in any stretch of the imagination, should they ever job to the Young Bucks?
No.
Nope.
Should Hangman Pearce be a world champion?
Nope.
I didn't think. I mean,
I never realized he wrestles with a belt buckle on.
Yeah, he does.
Rhinestone belt buckle. I mean, he's really cool. I mean, I got to be honest.
With Rhinestone Cowboy.
I want to run out and get one right now. He's Urban Cowboy or whatever one. What's the one with Dustin Hoffman? Had the, he died on the bus, the 70s movie.
The Rhinestone Cowboy.
Rhinestone Cowboy, yeah.
Was that it where he had the guy who was hooking him out? He was giving, he making the guy do like prostitution. He reminds me of that cowboy. It's terrible.
Look, like I said before, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I thought the show was good. I enjoyed the main event. The main event had layers. The main event had a story. MJF is the man. I've loved this kid since day one. I think he's the next – I mean, not even – not the next big thing. He is the thing right now.
He is the big thing right now.
He is the big thing. You got to do as much as you can with him. And that's all I got to say there. You know, I love the –
Again, I'm happy you like the show, Jimmy. I love the fact that you're growing.
My biggest issue is – is the fact that why is All Out this weekend? Like, I don't get this shit. Like, I know I'm not in the business, but I still don't understand why we're doing this so quickly. Yes, I understand you want to take advantage of holidays in two countries, but Jesus Christ, like, we just had a big show.
Tony Khan.
I mean, look,
he's got to get to Jacksonville because daddy might need somebody to hold his dick when he pees.
Well, did you see what happened today?
No.
So NFL and Fanatics came and WWE have a licensing agreement now
for the belts.
For the belts. They had to take the Jacksonville Jaguars belt off their website.
That's fantastic. Don't piss off Vince. Listen,
But WWE had to take it off their website, and the NFL and Fanatics had to take it off their website because the Jaguars are owned by the Khan family, which in turn own AEW, which they have an agreement with. So, yeah.
Listen, Vince loves competition because he loves to be, you know, challenged. He's never been shy about that. But Vince loves to squash competition. Loves it. Loves to squash it, right? Triple H is a competitor.
But here's my thing. Right. Everybody loves the attitude. Everybody loved Monday Night Wars. When that went away, there was something missing.
Absolutely. There was no challenge, Jimmy. He owned all three companies. He bought WCW. He bought ECW. He owned this competition.
WWE is doing a lot better because of the competition. That's why I hope AEW sticks around because – the business does well.
I agree. But here's
the stuff is vital.
Where do you go next?
You got to get the people out of there that are hurting the company.
Well,
That's plain and simple. I mean, it's fine you had people like the Bucks to start it off because they were the hot thing. People never saw them. It's 5 years later. They're useless. You got to get rid of them. He has to be an owner. He has to understand these people are losing me money. They're causing me trouble. I need to get rid of them. I need to build myself around the people that are going to make me money and keep my product going.
Do you remember the joke was that Eric Bischoff forgot to fire the Iron Sheik and they paid him $100,000 to stay home? Because the roster was so big, he couldn't keep track of who was on his roster.
Yeah.
Having all of these guys is fine. But you can't showcase them all. And then they all argue they want – like Arn Anderson's kid's contract's up in like 2 weeks, right? We haven't seen him on TV in like 6 months.
We saw him once. He got his ass kicked by Lucha.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Pillman's in the WWE now, right? They're losing young, talented, hungry guys because Sting is getting TV time. Darby Allin, I don't care what you say about Darby Allin. I think I'm so sick and over it.
You know who I want to see more on TV? Swerve.
Wayne. Who?
Swerve.
Okay.
Strickland.
I'm okay with that.
I love Swerve. I'm a big Swerve guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just would like to see him. I think he's underrated. I think they're not utilizing him a lot. I think he's great.
I want to see more Pickle on TV.
Yeah, Pickle, definitely. Absolutely. Pickle on TV. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'll turn that place around, baby. Let me tell you.
Absolutely. Terry Funk, I know. Look, last
week. Yeah, let's get into the passing.
Yeah. Like, last week was a tough week for wrestling fans. Terry Funk, Bray Wyatt, great tribute by House of Black yesterday at that pay-per-view on Sunday with the Lantern and the Fireflies, all the guys that did everything for Bray Wyatt. Terry Funk, legend of sport, dude. One of the nicest guys I ever met, like, straight up. Like, dude was cool. Totally forgot he was in Roadhouse. but
he's also do you know that Terry Funk is the reason that Hulk Hogan was in Rocky III?
Yes.
That role was written for Terry Funk, but when the producers seen the first reading of the script and the walkthrough, Funk wasn't big enough to make Stallone look small.
Yeah.
He recommended Hogan for the part. That's how Hogan got the part.
Okay.
Hogan getting the part of the incredible Thunderlips is what sparked Vince Jr. to want to take over and run with Hogan as world champion. Terry Funk, behind the scenes, in a roundabout way, changed the future of professional wrestling twice. Hulk Hogan and ECW.
Yes.
Yep. The business night might not be here today if Terry Funk didn't live and do what he did to get this to where it is. People don't know that story. People don't know that Hulk Hogan only got that role, only met Sylvester Stallone because of Terry Funk. People don't know that Vince McMahon, who had Hulk Hogan for years and didn't know what to do with him, he kept jobbing him out. Tony Atlas pinned him in the Garden 3 times.
Yeah.
Bob Backlund was pinning Hulk Hogan as a challenger in the Garden and all over the country. They didn't know what to do with him. He went, got recycled. They see him in a movie. The next thing you know, he's making a $100,000 offer to him, and he's the biggest thing in the history of the world of professional wrestling, thanks to Terry Funk. Terry Funk goes to a little bingo hall in Philadelphia.
ECW.
He literally took that company. He came in as a commentator. I don't know if you know that. He was the commentator on Eastern Championship Wrestling. He was the play by he was the
color. I thought it was called Extreme Crappiest Wrestling. No, I'm just kidding.
It was called Eastern Championship Wrestling first, and it was just based out of Pennsylvania on Sports Channel Philadelphia. Terry Funk was the announcer. Now, Terry Funk is also legendary on the New Jersey scene for Uncle Dennis Corluzzo, who had many, many of the bloodiest, wildest brawls in the history of New Jersey with Abdullah the Butcher and Terry Funk. Stan Hansen and Terry Funk ended up wrestling inside of a lake. They fell into a lake and brawled up and down in the lake and on the shoreline and everything else. Somebody got hit with a backhoe. I mean, Funk was the man, bro. And then there you have his disciples, which are like Tommy Dreamer, the Dudleys, these guys who just looked at this man like Jesus Christ walked on water.
Didn't RVD credit a lot of stuff he did because of
they
Terry
all
Funk?
Did.
Yeah.
They all had.
Foley, everybody.
Chris Candido used to wrestle for us. He was our world television champion when we had 150 weeks on cable TV as JCW that nobody even knows because nobody even wants to bother to say I did anything. But Chris Candido wore Terry Funk's tights every single week. His actual black and red and white tights. They were a gift from Terry Funk. Candido worshiped the ground that Terry Funk walked on. He would go back to Vince as Chainsaw Charlie, and the reason they called him Chainsaw Charlie was he was more popular than the baby faces that were on the show at that time during the Attitude Era because of the ECW influence. They had to put him under that stocking and call him Chainsaw Charlie because every time he walked out, the 15,000, 20,000 people would break out into ECW chants.
Yeah, Vince didn't like that much.
Cactus Jack isn't in wrestling today if it's not for Terry Funk. So Pickle was the victim of a Terry Funk joke. One of the funniest things we did. We'll make a little light. God rest his soul. We had Terry multiple times on JCW shows. Before I tell the joke, let me tell you this story. We had him on as just an autograph signer in South Jersey at one of the shores. It was down the shore at a VFW. I don't remember the name of the place.
It was Brick.
Brick Township VFW. Brick Town. So Funk is there just as a guest to sign autographs. And the place is fucking packed, dude. Wall to wall. You couldn't fit a midget underneath an elephant at this show. So the main event is going on, and Terry's ringside, just sitting there watching the show, and the heel isn't healing enough to get to make the babyface make the comeback. So Terry Funk is standing there, and Damian Darlin says something like, "You fucking has been Terry Funk." And Terry jumps up, not cued, not part of the show, Jimmy, jumps up and goes in and does a 10-minute brawl all over the building with our fucking our heels, garbage cans, chairs, goes under the ring, pulls out a ladder, just beating the fuck out of everybody. Everybody's brawling. Nobody knows what to do because this is completely off script. You know, they're going through the crowd. People are fucking going nuts. And then he comes in the back. It's all over. And he goes, "Ricky, I'm so sorry. God damn it. I couldn't sit back and just watch those boys flounder out there. I'm so sorry. If you don't want to give me a payday, I apologize." I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? That was the greatest fucking thing that's ever happened in my ring in 25 years of me promoting, Mr. Funk. I can't thank you enough. I should have never have did that. I'm so sorry. And meanwhile, I got goosebumps telling the story. Every one of the guys involved in the brawl were just in the back like, Terry Funk just fucking went nuts. Like, you know, it was, the boys were popping. That's how he was just captivating, nicest man in the world. Like, my first time I met Terry Funk was at a JAP show in the late 90s. And the show was over, and I'm wearing a New York Ranger pull-up. My hair shaved to the skin. I'm 360-pound fat slob. And Fat Frank walks up and was like, "Have you ever met Terry?" And I'm like, "No." And I have the picture still hanging up. I have to find it. I'll bring it out for next week. It's on my Facebook page somewhere. But he goes, "Ah, come over. Let me introduce you to Terry." And I was like, "Hey, Terry, how you doing? I'm Ricky." I says, "I'm a mentor of Dennis Corluzzo's, my mentor." I says, I've seen you on 100 shows, but I've never had a chance to say hello. And he says, "Well, sit down, boy." And he's bleeding, just bleeding. His head's busted open. There's just blood running down the side of his face into his mouth. And he's going like this and just spitting blood out. He's like, "So, boy, if there's anything I can ever do for you, here's my number. And you can call me and you can ask me questions." And just in 10 seconds was ready to help me with anything in the world. He never met me before. Frank was just like, "Hey, this is a promoter, you know." And then I told him I was working for Dennis. And he just was the nicest guy in the whole world, you know. And he just did more for this. My Mount Rushmore does not have Hogan on it, okay? My Mount Rushmore is Dusty, Funk, Flair, and The Rock. Honorable mention, the Stone Cold. I don't have Hogan in my top five. If I had to do a top five, he wouldn't be on it. Funk is in my top five every time.
New Terry Funk, the man, baby.
We had Funk coming in for a show, and he gets a midnight flight from Amarillo, Texas to Newark Airport, right? So we go to pick him up, and the flight's early. So he's sitting on a chair, just like a little old grandpa. And he was like, this is what, pick like 15 years ago? So he
15 years ago, yeah.
So he's sitting in Newark Airport with his little arms like this. And, you know, so I, "All right, Terry, how you doing? I'm Rick, and this is Mike. We're here to pick you up." And Mike, of course, one thing Mike is he's overly respectful. He's like, "Oh, sir, yes, sir, no, sir. How can I help you, sir?" So Terry goes, My bag is, it never came out yet." So Mike's like, what's your bag look like, Mr. Funk? I'll go look for it." And there's a carousel going around with luggage. And Terry's like, "I have a red bag. It's bright red. I brought the red bag because all my gimmicks in it, and I got to be able to see my bag." Okay. So we go to the carousel where his flight's up. We're looking. There's no fucking red bag. We go to the next one just in case it got mixed up. There's no red bag. We go back into the thing. "Terry, you sure you brought the red bag?" "Oh, God damn it. It's a red bag. I promise you, boy. Oh, they lost my gimmick, blah, blah, blah." We can't find it for 45 minutes. Finally, I go, "We're going to go to Lost Baggage and report this, Terry. You know, all your stuff's in it." So we walk over, and we're going, "Oh, Mr. Funk here was just on the flight from Amarillo about an hour ago. His bag is missing, blah, blah, blah." And Terry just looks over and goes, "There's my bag." What? He just walks over, and it's black as the ace of spades. And me and Pickle just look at him, and Pickle goes, "I thought you said it was red, Mr. Funk." And Funk goes, "Red, black, it's all the same when you get to be my age." Walking around for a fucking hour looking for a red bag. It was on the carousel the whole time. They finally took it off as like a lost bag because we walked past it 300 times.
That's hysterical.
So my mom's going to kill me.
We took him to the hotel, and "Mr. Funk, where would you like to eat?" And again, it's really late, but you know, Jimmy, Jersey diners.
Yeah, diners always open, yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I'm not hungry." We asked him again, Mr. Funk. Pickle's like, Mr. Funk, please, we'd love to have you come out to dinner. We would love to just sit and talk with you, you know, Mr. Funk. Oh, no, boys, you know, I'm old. I want to go to sleep. Oh, and we go to walk away, and he opens the door, and he goes, maybe you can just go get me a pizza? We asked him like 20 fucking times before we got to the hotel what we could eat. You know what, nothing. And then he closed the door. It's like 2 in the morning, and he goes, maybe you can just get me a pizza? He was just classy, dude. He was.
God bless him.
God bless Terry Funk. God bless Bray Wyatt, man.
Let's talk about Bray. I mean, we can't just blow it off real quick.
I know. Here's the thing. I got to jump off soon because I'm starting to fade. But
no, you can go. You're fucking. You and fucking Tony Khan could stay on. we'll wrap this up in like 3 minutes. Bray Wyatt, the son of legendary wrestler Mike Rotundo, the
IRS baby.
Barry Windham. Grandpa was Black Jack Mulligan, one of the single toughest human beings in the history of the world.
Yep.
Yes. The shame. And you know what? It came out today from TMZ that he didn't need to die. He just didn't follow his doctor's orders. Apparently, he was supposed to, he fell asleep. He had went back to the doctor. He had some kind of problem again with his heart. And the doctor put him on a fibrillator. He wanted to put him on a fibrillator. He didn't use it. He left it in his car, supposedly, and he went to take a nap. I guess Shojo, he told them he's going to go take a nap, and he just never woke up.
I heard.
And he didn't use the defibrillator.
He became very sick during COVID.
Yeah.
And then it exposed his heart. Now, I'm a conspiracy theorist. There's just too many people in their 30s that are dying that got vaccinations. To me, there's something very scary about that. As a tribute, I'll get off that subject for another time because Jimmy's tired. But did you see that the 15 employees from the WWE got together last night and they went and got tattooed? They all got
I saw that. That was really cool. Yeah.
If that doesn't tell you how loved he was as a human being behind the scenes, that's just it's a horrifying story, man. He was a young man who had the world at his fingertips, and he's gone way too soon.
Yeah, so. The whole world in his hands.
Yeah. I will say this. Generational.
Vince dropped the ball with his creative mind.
Absolutely.
Really did. 100%. Really did.
But he had the greatest debut in the last 50 years of professional.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. 100%.
That storyline of the Cape Fear meets like the hills have eyes all rolled into one was one of the greatest early gimmicks ever. Vince was classy, but the other night bringing Eric Rowan in.
Yes.
Very, very classy to have Big Eric out there with Strowman.
I would have – look, this is the fan in me, the mark in me, I guess. I would have loved to see Rollins and Reigns taking on Rowan and Strowman to close out SmackDown.
Yeah.
Do it one more time.
That's a beautiful thing. You're right, Jim. You're absolutely right. But just gone too soon with a family and a little girl, and it should have just
– look – didn't need to happen, but again, tragic, you know, just a tragic death, and, you know, classy moves, and the 10 bells, the chairs, the fans, but the Fozzie concert, everybody.
So if anybody, real fast, Jimmy, we'll wrap this up. If anybody can see this, this is the woman who came out and threw the kids with autism out and told them they weren't allowed in. That's Billy's right-hand person. She's one of his executives, and I have a message right here. I'm going to block the gentleman's name. This is the woman who threw us out. The kids are hoping maybe tomorrow you can make a phone call and it could be better. This is at 10:45 at night. These kids are under 10 years old, and they're sending me pictures to try to get in the show for tomorrow. So I'll end it like this. I'm done right now because I'm going to get really fucking pissed off. I may even go look for Billy and fucking Kyle and go get into a fight right now and punch Billy Corgan in the fucking mouth. Okay. I don't care, Jim.
I know you don't.
Don't go paying any bets.
Motherfucker, you can ask Pickle. This motherfucker used to carry a radio and play Iron Man when I was getting into bar fights. True story.
Okay. I believe it. I believe it.
True fucking story. He was also at the Wellington skating rink the night that some lady got mad because I beat her husband up on the rink and called me a fucking goon. So I took my equipment off and went outside. And when I was walking by the car,
I heard this story.
Something out. So I broke my fucking stick through their windshield and pulled her husband out of the car and beat him up again. Mike was playing Iron Man. I'm so sorry. If you listen to my show, my heart right now is broken, dude. Like, I have a fucking dad. This poor kid's got autism. He's texting me at 10:45 at fucking night because he wanted to go to a wrestling show. You motherfucker, Billy. You're a piece
of shit. It's ridiculous.
I'm ending it right now.
This is grateful.
Thank you for your time. We'll be back here maybe tomorrow night, and we'll talk football season preview either tomorrow or Wednesday, whatever we want to do. Pickle, you're always welcome to come on. Jimmy, you're still in the chat room. Rico, thanks for joining us tonight. Rob, thanks for listening. A whole bunch of one of the biggest audiences we had live tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great
thanks
night,
for tuning in. All in One Sports, Pickle, Ricky O. Check it out. We'll bring it back to you. Run it back again. Big audience, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again real soon. Have a good night, everybody.